Good evening. I'm Eric A. Sinani, and this is Unplugged, where we cut through the noise and strip away the spin, get straight to the truth. Tonight, we're pulling back the curtain on the state of media in general, in America, as it is across the globe and the United States, but mostly the United States, but the globe as well. For decades, six major corporations have controlled mostly everything that we see, hear, and read. Six corporations shaping the narrative, deciding what stories are told and what stories are to be heard and what stories are to be buried and disappear. But the ground is shifting. Audio, video, and print are no longer controlled exclusively by billion-dollar corporations. Alternative media is rising. Citizen journalism is gaining ground. And the question before us is quite simple, folks. What comes next? What will replace the legacy media, and how can ordinary citizens like yourself and other Americans take part in this revolution? That's what we're going to break down tonight. When a handful of corporations control the news, the truth isn't reported. It's managed. Like that lament, folks. The truth is managed, not reported. Real journalism begins with the people. And I say, let's take it back. Quote directly from me, Eric A. Sinani. And help us navigate and understand the critical condition. I'm honored to welcome a true pioneer to the fight for freedom of the media in America. Sam Anthony has spent over two decades of time on the front lines in digital media with major innovative ideas, long before mainstream media even realized they need to change the way they do business. Sam knew. Sam had the forethought that the internet was going to transform the world and transform journalism. And he believes that we give the power to where it belongs, to the people, freedom of the press, of the people. He's the CEO and president of Nico Ventures, the driving force behind yournews.com, yournews.com, a platform designed to strip away censorship and restore the press in the rightful hands and the owners, the American people. Sam has helped thousands of journalists transitioning from corporate newsrooms into a free, adaptable digital landscape. And he continues to lead the charge for transparency, truth, and citizen-driven reporting. Ladies and gentlemen, it truly is my privilege and honor to introduce and welcome to Unplugged, Sam Anthony. Sam, thank you for joining us. Alyssa, bring him into the show.
Eric, how are you?
Hey, great to be here, hey, man.
Thank you for having me.
How are you, Sam? Oh, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. How are you? But niceties. The ticker, please. Niceties. How are you today? Having a good day?
Yes, I'm having having a great day. I'm glad. I'm so glad to be here. So you know,
we are thrilled.
And I loved your intro.
Thank you. And you know what even makes it more exciting for me is that we are partnered with you. Here with both the Hostile Zone and Unplugged, so we have a lot to gain together. So I think this is an opportunity for us to venture into bigger things for both of us, and to give the power back to the people where it belongs.
Absolutely, Eric. Absolutely.
So before we go into our segments, I'd like to give you 30 seconds or so, or basically what you want to go ahead and tell the people, other than the intro I gave you, a little bit about yourself and what it is you're doing, your history with, venture capitalism and everything else you're involved in, because you're quite an impressive person.
So, you know, originally I'm from Chicago. I live in Florida now, going back, decades ago, me and a couple guys believed that the mainstream media wasn't going to survive due to the internet. It was going to transform, the way news was delivered. And this was back in the day when nobody bought that story. And today everybody's scratching their heads going, are they still printing that newspaper? How are those radio TV stations still around? So everything's right. Transforming. It's all turning to digital, whether it doesn't matter if it's audio, video, or print. It's all changing. Everything is on demand. Now, I'm 60 years old, right? I remember when news, like the television news stations in the, let's say, the 80s or 90s, controlled 50% of the market was tuning in.
And it was like, what, three stations to watch, right? That's it.
Well, like three or four. It wasn't many. And
there was no 24-hour cycle, that's for sure.
No. And so now if you look at mainstream media's actual numbers, literally 2.5 million people are tuning in a day. That's less than 1% of the population. So
we know that from my shows that we get, we beat a lot of the major outlets for just my Monday Hostile Zone show. Yeah.
Eric, that's every channel. That's all of them. Fox, CBS, ABC, NBC. It's 2.5 million complete for the day. So that's, you know, what is there, 350 million people in the United States? It's, you know, less than 1% of the population is tuning in. And the reason is, you know, some people say, well, it's because they were lying. They're not telling the truth. Well, you know, to some degree, that absolutely had something to do with it. But for the most part, the younger generation just doesn't consume their information that way. They get it on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. I mean, there's just so
you hit a topic there. You hit it. Yeah. We could do a whole show on that one, Sam. Exactly. Because that truly is. Yeah. So basically, we're going to break this into segments. Obviously, where I'm professional as all can be, so you don't know these questions, but there's no sandbag questions. We want to get your real true reaction, and I'd like to have a nice dialogue with you. So let's move into segment one. We're going to talk about control. So Sam, if six corporations shape nearly all the news Americans consume, what does that mean for democracy itself? And how are we seeing news, manufactured or reality?
Eric, you know, back in the 80s, there was over 500 independent news outlets. So you had independent journalism, right? All that stuff was consolidated. And today now, you know, six institutions control the legacy media. And I don't need to tell your audience, everybody's seen the Sinclair Broadcasting videos with the 20 or 30 TVs all saying the same thing at the same time. Right. It's really centralized news. And like you said in your monologue when you were opening up, is they decide what news is going to be news for you and what they're going to omit. There's the issue, you know?
And you could see that when you look around at the way that people report on stuff. You could see it. It's very clear.
It is very clear. And, you know, years ago, we used to all trust the media. But, you know, all of a sudden, they started to say things that we found out were absolutely untrue. But instead of saying, hey, we apologize, we got that one wrong, they doubled down on it. So
let me ask you a question. Let me sub-question you on this because you hit a topic and don't mind me to cut in because you hit a good topic. What do you think made that happen? Because you know that obviously been happening for years. But what do you think was the light bulb that went off to everybody to realize, well, we're not hearing everything or we're being told false information or as President Trump would say, fake news?
Right. Well, here's what I think it is. I think it's much easier to control six people than it is to control 500. So you have six major institutions that are controlling the legacy media, and all of them are businessmen. All of them are billionaires. And what do they want? They want perks. They want to grow their business. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of government influence. There's certainly advertiser influence in the case of COVID with Pfizer and all the different pharmaceutical companies. You know, there was, right?
Yeah, and of course. Yeah.
And so the only thing I could figure is you scratch my back, I scratch yours, because nobody's ever came out and reported what the absolute truth is. But you know that what they're telling you is got to be coming directly from the White House or the Democratic Party. I mean, it's pushing an agenda, because anytime that you would overlook something like the Hunter Biden laptop, why on earth would they ever say that's Russia disinformation, which when we already knew exactly where it came from, and they're covering up the fact and telling all the audience that alternative news is lying to them. So you have to know there's an agenda here, because nobody's that dumb.
Right. And, you know, it's crazy that we thought that for so long, that people thought that. You know, I'm going to cite an example, and I guess we're going to shoot back and forth on it.
Sure.
Specifically, the Charlie Kirk assassination. We could go back and look at the Kennedy assassination, right? The assassination of Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King. We all know there was a lot more to that story, but there were not a 500,000 people with cell phone cameras filming it, and there weren't a lot of places to broadcast alternative ideas, so you were kind of stuck with what it is they gave you. And I think this particular story, and not just to highlight that one, but that's a big story to talk about, but that is like changing things for everybody. And I think even opening eyes for specific governmental agencies that may have to Kirk, you know, Kirk looking what they're doing and how they operate.
Yes. First of all, there's cameras everywhere. Every house has one. I have two or three of my house. I mean, every house I walk by has a video of me walking my dog when I go by, right? So the whole world has got cameras all over the place. So it's not as easy as it was years ago to be able to pull off a crime. And today,
and showing a grainy picture online, a grainy picture we know is definitely a little kind of weird, right?
Yeah. Well, we also know today. We also know that everybody has a cell phone, which means they're all news reporters for all practical purposes. They're able to film anything. Even the police have cameras right on their vests. So, you know, everything gets seen. So it's getting much harder to pull off crimes in this day and age because there's too many.
Not that either one of us are criminals, right, though, Sam?
No.
All right. So segment two, which is kind of a great spin right into it. Going to talk about alternative media. Mm-hmm. So, Sam, critics say alternative media platforms are chaotic, even dangerous. You argue that they're essential. How do we distinguish disruption from liberation in this new media order?
Well, I mean, you said it. They're disruptive and they're dangerous. And so I'm going to ask you this. Wouldn't it be dangerous and disruptive to be lying to the American public with the mainstream media? I mean, not for nothing, Eric, but I think the mainstream media has to set the bar really low. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay.
And when you got the same corporate sponsors with the same commercials over and over again.
Exactly. So look, who would you rather believe? The guy standing there, boots on the ground, covering it with his own camera, or somebody that's in Los Angeles, 2,000 miles away, telling you what happened?
Right. So now, I want to add a caveat to that because I'm 100% with you clearly. Right. But you do got to make sure that the individuals are not intentionally trying to. You don't want some weirdo out there saying this is the story, because you can see a lot of things that pop up on certain streaming platforms that are just absolute garbage and crud. Mm-hmm. So we do need to have ethics and professional standards. And that's where I think associations should come into play.
So, Eric, I'm just going to share something with you. You know, the only thing a journalist has, including yourself, is your credibility, right? That's
correct.
So you have an audience and they trust you. The moment you lie, how long will it take you to lose your audience?
Oh, yeah, they're done. I mean, just look at MSNBC.
There you go. CNN. Okay.
I get more downloads on a previous episode than they get on a live air. That much I know.
It's because nobody trusts him anymore. Nobody's listening. That's the whole key. So here's the point I'm trying to make. We're a platform. How could I possibly know what went on at a city council meeting in any town in America? You could never know. So what we do is we rely on the journalist to report the facts as they are. In the event that journalist is lying, the public's going to let us know that quick. It's going to come back to us and say, I was there. It never happened. When you get 20 or 30 emails like that, you know the person's lying.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I worry with AI generated content, though. That scares me a little bit.
AI, to me, AI is just a tool. So I use AI for specific things. But here's the best part about journalism today, Eric. Anybody could become a journalist. You know, before you had to go to journalism school, then you get out and you're looking for a job. They want to see where you went to school. Today on YouTube, anybody could be a broadcaster. YouTube doesn't say to you, well, did you go to broadcast journalism school?
But you know that they screen out a lot of stuff. Like here, we say COVID, we'll say suicide, we'll say murder because we report the news.
Understood.
I don't care about being screened out.
That's because they have their own rules and they're woke. But what I'm getting at is you don't have to go to journalism school to be a broadcaster on YouTube. Right. I could go there if I decide I want to be a golf reporter, I could do it myself, right? Well, what YouTube has done for the broadcast industry, your news has done for the journalism industry, where now anybody can become a local news reporter. And you know what? The cream's going to rise to the top because you could have somebody who's popular in the community that goes to all the high school football games or school board meetings. That person decides to become a journalist and goes out, reports a story, uses AI to write the story. And once they get it the way they want it, they could submit that as their own. That's just a tool.
It's a tool. It's a tool. Like it's just a like a firearm. It's a tool. AI doesn't kill you. The gun doesn't kill you. It's the person behind it.
It's the person behind it.
AI can help you with editing and things like that, but it shouldn't be generating your content.
No, you could tell it where you want it to go. And once it produces what you want, because you're putting in all the bullet points, you know, this paragraph talks about this. Once you get it the way you want, because it's just going to format it, write it better than you. That's your story. So now,
and I like to make sure we verify facts and 100% double check. I don't believe on the number one clickable spot on Google. I search several databases to make sure. And I think that's the way it should be done.
If you're talking our platform, there's no possible way we could fact check everything. It's going to be the public.
I'm talking about my personal reporting.
Absolutely. And by the way, you're supposed to. That's what a journalist does. I'm just the distribution for the content.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And what I love what you're doing is you are not dialing back and you're not screening out words. We don't have to use code words to say other things. I can actually report legitimately on what's going on. If you don't like what I'm saying, then you don't have to listen, read, or watch.
That is exactly correct.
You know me. You watch my stuff. You've read my work. I might have political leanings that people feel I have, but I report fair and equal. You know, so you know that's important to me.
Right. Absolutely. You know? And so that's the whole thing about journalism is the journalist is supposed to go out and report the news freely without censorship. You know, when you're on all these on mainstream media, you're censored by them. I mean, look what happened with the Epstein case, right? They were on that show. What was her name? I forget what it was. And it was nixed.
Candace Owens. She did a great feature on him on that story.
Did she?
Yes. She's fabulous at her work.
I love her. I've seen it. As a matter of fact, I think I saw what you're talking about. At least somebody was talking about Epstein.
She's a pit bull. Absolutely. She's created her own empire. She's really, she's unstoppable, which is great. Kudos to her, man.
And see that? It's because technology today that allows somebody like her to become a broadcaster and build an audience.
What's great is that she was mainstream and they fired her for speaking the truth. And she ended up doing better being fired than she did working for Daily Wire.
Just like Tucker Carlson. Same thing.
Tucker, yep, exactly. Another one. Megyn Kelly, another one.
Megyn Kelly, exactly. So this is, you know, the internet.
Being canceled is good, I guess, right? I mean, I guess it's like a scar. It's a badge of honor being canceled or lied about.
You know, and I heard Tucker say when he first got fired, he was concerned about it, you know, but once he got into what he's doing, he's even bigger now.
More money.
You're in a closed box on network TV. The moment they open you up to the world wide web, everybody's your audience.
Yep. And you control your content, not the corporation and not the advertiser that controls the corporation.
Exactly.
Like I don't endorse anything on any of my stuff, any products or anybody. I vet my guests like yourself. What I say on here, I endorse. No one's spinning me to tell what their story wants to be. I'm going to speak the truth and I'm not going to put a product on that I don't believe in or a service.
And under the old guard, that was not allowed. But with
new media. Because they couldn't sell ad space.
Yes. New media is you can do it yourself. You're the one that decides what shows you're going to do, what topics you're going to discuss. And, you know, the public is either going to like you or not. One or the other.
Yep. You want to move on to our next segment?
Sure.
Okay. So kind of obviously all the same area on citizen journalism. Mm-hmm. You're inviting everyday people to step behind the camera and the keyboard. What happens when citizens, not corporations, become the actual front line?
Well, that's
kind of like your mission and vision. Your mission and vision, where it is now, how it is now, what your mission and vision are.
Eric, our whole platform is people-powered press. I mean, we put the power of the press in the hands of the people. Now, I will tell you this. Just because there's a few bad eggs in media doesn't mean everybody's bad, right?
Right.
Right. So all these people that were downsized by the legacy media, you're talking on LinkedIn Navigator. I think I may have showed you this one time. There's about 500,000 people that are calling themselves freelancers, almost a couple hundred thousand students that are coming out of school that have nowhere to get a job.
Exactly.
They're not hiring. So the next wave or the next mainstream media is obviously going to be a platform. It's going to be a hyper-local news platform that allows the public to interact and share in the narrative locally. And here's the biggest piece. It is going to have a monetization model like YouTube where journalists could share in the revenue, and a self-service ad platform where a business could buy an ad and target it to one zip code and everywhere in between. But more importantly, the whole thing about people-powered press is that people that have never been in the business will have the opportunity to do this, just like YouTube has people that have never been in the broadcast industry that are now broadcasters that are making a fortune. There's no difference. This is just the natural progression of media. So ultimately, what I believe is this completely decentralizes the news business, Eric, and it democratizes who gets to say it. Basically,
exactly. And you're not pulling the reins back on people, which I like.
Okay, so how can I? I mean, I have 20,000 cities, and if I only had 5 people a city, there's 100,000 news reporters. And it's very broad in scope. So I have people that do movie reviews, theater critics, restaurant reviews, faith-based stuff, home and garden, travel on a local level, on a state level, on a national level. I mean, not to mention all the video podcasts. I have people that do cooking shows. I have people that write recipes. It's so broad in scope that people that are coming out of school that are looking for a specific type, like I have people that do fashion. That's their passion. They can't find a job at a fashion magazine. There is none. Okay.
Right.
So we're the next mainstream media that's coming up, but all of this content, how could I possibly know what kind of New York fashion is going on in New York when I don't even live there and I don't pay attention to it? Or how can I know about some school board meeting and what happened? I mean, you're talking about millions of contributors. So, you know, this is where you put the power of the press in the hands of the people, and the public is your Snopes. They're the ones that are going to let you know if somebody's lying or not. This is why I'm going to tell you right now, Eric, this is why you're perfect for our platform. That's why we're going to be featuring you on our platform.
Is this the big announcement you're about to make?
Yeah.
I saw some messaging on the screen. You want to make, I guess, there's something about an announcement. What is it?
Yeah. Well, look, you know, our platform is now going to be hosting your show. I mean, that's cool. Unplugged. So
prime time. Nice.
Prime time. Yeah. So we're going to be hosting your show, as well as obviously many others, but this is, you're perfect for this.
Wonderful. And we're thrilled. We're thrilled to bring Unplugged and the Hostile Zone onto your platform.
We got to get Candace over here next too.
And I have something big for you that I'm going to bring it in the green room after, but I have something else that I'm bringing that came to the table for us.
Okay.
That you're going to be really excited about. And we're going to report on it on when you come on the Hostile Zone after I tell you after this one, you come on a guest of that show.
Perfect.
You're going to be very thrilled. I was waiting for 100% confirmation. And I actually, when I was looking down here on the, I was getting messages saying, yes, it's a thumbs up what I wanted to do. So I don't want to announce it until we talk privately. Actually, if you want to take a break, let's go to a short break and we'll talk off air.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere, folks. Unplugged will be right back. Welcome back. Eric A. Sinani, Unplugged. Thank you for sticking through the break. We are with Sam Anthony, a pioneer in digital marketing, a pioneer in so many things. Atlas, can we bring him back into the show? All right, Sam, we talked offline. We have some good things to talk about again after this, but did I make you smile?
You do.
Okay. All right, yeah, good. Happy, a happy relationship is a good relationship. What do they say? Happy wife, happy life, a happy business partner, happy bank. All right, so moving forward into the next segment. We're going to talk about the future. So, Sam, in 10 years, does legacy media even still exist, or is it replaced entirely by decentralized, people-driven platform like yournews.com? Paint us that picture.
God, I think 10 years you're pushing it. I mean, I don't think that they exist in another 4 or 5. Okay.
Right. I have to be optimistic here.
Well, Eric, so remember the average age of people watching cable news is 72 or 73 years old right now. Okay. And so there's nobody following up behind. So I told you there was 2.5 million viewers a day. What I didn't tell you was, the report came out for first quarter and the age demographic between 25 and 54, which represents a huge portion of the population. The total numbers that we're viewing on cable news was over 3 months. So this is total, not daily. This is just that many people. It's 500,000 people. That's the issue. You still have the older demographic that grew up with watching CNN or ABC or NBC. And they're still not leaving. You know, they're the ones that just, you know, don't have internet and don't care and don't have social media. But you have the younger generation, which is all getting.
Well, that's what's great about my shows. We're available on Roku and everything. So we are available to the local people.
On demand. That's the whole
thing. And on demand. But we're also streamed locally, you know, so people can watch.
Exactly. But somebody can tune into you next week if they wanted to.
Yep. And they could go back and download any show they like. And I don't charge them to do that.
That's the point. Try doing that with, you know, CBS or ABC. So you have different guests on, you're talking about specific topics and people can say, I need to catch up with Eric so they can go back and watch it. It's the same thing with, the streaming platforms like Netflix or like Prime, where you have these shows on there and you could watch 2 years worth of shows at once.
Right? Yeah. We want them to come back every night.
Exactly. So this is just a better way to consume information, and that's where it's all headed. So honestly, I think the next 3 to 5 years, there won't be any mainstream media that's left. It's a painful experience, but this is why you have, by the way, I didn't tell you this, around the globe, there's over 2 million freelance journalists, 2 million. Right.
My shows are available in 57 countries, and I get emails daily from Australia, Ireland, Dubai, Middle East, and my analytics are big in these areas.
And that's the beauty of the World Wide Web. That's why I was saying when Tucker Carlson got kicked off of Fox, he was in a box. All of a sudden, he gets opened up to 8 billion people. So his audience has to get bigger. It's actually
it has no choice. Yeah, and you know, when you get when he advertises a product, you know that he likes it. He endorsed it because it's his personal brand. Exactly. That is attached to that product and that sponsorship, which I think is great. And I feel the same way with mine, so.
You pick and choose what you want.
So that was pretty much the segment, because then I wanted to leave a little dialogue moment for us here. Mm-hmm. Well, since you made the announcement that we're going to be one of your main shows, what do you see that to be? I mean, what do you see, where do you see us going with this, with both shows?
So the beauty of what I do, Eric, is, we're bringing on literally, we have over 5,000 news reporters and growing. Okay. So I can envision this. And by the way, it's mostly local news. I mean, we have some national people, but for the most part, it's all local and state news all over the United States.
That's the local stuff. So we would be a syndicated, I would be the syndicated national.
So you're going to have national exposure. Well, the beauty is it opens you up to that many more people. Because
And then you could bring people to me to give me stories that are local, that are important, that people need to hear.
What I actually envision is that the content creators on our platform, like the video content and audio content creators like you, will have the ability to have access to all the boots on the ground. Have you ever seen Fox or CBS, they have the local affiliates across the United States. So you'll have Fox News National say, we're talking to Bob Smith. He's in Miami where the bomb just went off. Bob, can you tell me what happened or what's going on? And they're reading it, right? They're communicating. Right. So at some point in time, because ours is all about boots on the ground, the content creators like yourself will have the ability to be able to access all these local people to get local reporting.
To spin on that, because I'm going to be the national show for you, we're going to have a phone number dedicated to come to us or somebody, one of your local journalists that have a story that they want to get nationalized and they want media coverage. And I think that will empower people to do that and to get it across all the platforms. I would like that. I would like people to be able to call in and say, hey, something's happening here.
Of course. Or, and don't forget, you know, they could always submit the content to us. So, you know, most people have phones, they could take a video and they could submit the content to us. So everybody that has a phone is basically a news reporter.
Right.
That's the beauty. Or they could submit stuff to us, which then goes to a local journalist, which could then cover the story for them. You know, I see this being, Eric, is honestly, I think it's the next WikiLeaks. Now, keep in mind, I'm very broad. So I have local events. I have, you know, travel related news, cooking shows, all kinds of stuff.
But some big national security stuff we're going to cover, you know, all that.
We can have all of it. The thing is that, you know, how many people have, information or documents that may be damning to some of these national politicians or even local, right? I mean, but they're afraid to bring this stuff forward because you know what's going to end up happening, right? They're going to end up going to prison. And so what's going to end up happening is that stuff's going to be leaked to us and we're going to be able to run that stuff. And there's nothing anybody can really do about it.
And they can't screen it out. Exactly.
You can't. I mean, you know, if it's factual, it gets run. That's how I see it. You know, so
we're coming to an almost hard close here. I want to give you the final couple seconds to tell everybody about you and give your website address. Remember, we're TV and audio, so spell out emails and information.
Yes. So, first of all, we're a citizen powered press. So we're always looking for more news reporters, more content creators, and they don't have to be doing political news. It could be just, you know, anything we discussed. It could be local events, entertainment news. It could be sports related stuff. Eric, I have people that do Formula One auto racing, not only written news, but podcasts too. I mean, it's actually pretty cool. Right. So I'm looking for, anybody that's interested in doing something like, you know, that's becoming a news reporter locally, they can go to yournews.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and they can click become a citizen journalist. There's a couple videos they could watch. And then if they like what they hear, they could fill out the application below, which comes to us. And once they get activated, they get an email with notification.
And you vet these people and all that, right? Obviously, you vet the people, make sure they're credible and all that. And you do all that back. Sure.
All we want to see is who you are. We want to see LinkedIn and profile page, like X page and stuff like that, because we want to make sure that somebody in there isn't crazy, you know?
Right.
And so they fill out, we get them daily. We get, at least a half a dozen of them a day coming in right now with just a small marketing budget. And then, I wanted to talk about the equity crowdfund of what we're doing, because I think that's
important. I was hoping I was giving you that platform.
It's my background has been capital raising for years. And the way when you're raising capital, for a private placement, you can only sell to accredited investors, which means they have to have like a couple $100,000 income or $1 million plus net worth. Well, and I understand the reason why. It's because, you know, the SEC thinks that investing in companies like, you know, that are doing private placements that are not public could be a little riskier. And if you're not a seasoned veteran in terms of, you know, investing, they want to keep those people out of it. Well, there's something called an equity crowdfund. And it's not like a Give, Send, Go or GoFundMe where people are donating money. It's actually owned by a brokerage firm. It's actually pretty cool, where investors can actually invest in companies and they could spend $200, $2,000, $200,000, $2 million. It doesn't matter.
I guess it's safe to say that I'm invested with this.
So people buy stock in the company and they could pick and choose which ones they want to do. And the only limitation they have, which I like, is it's based on their income. So I think the minimum you can invest, if you, depending on your income, is $2,500 in any given year. But I think it's something like 5% of your income.
Didn't you tell me like $200 or something was like a?
Well, in my case, like in our case, we have a minimum of $200 that we set, because to me, you know, my background is raising capital, and you always go to institutions for stuff like this because they're the ones with all the money, Eric, and they're the ones
that they have the control.
Well, that's the other side is, you know, if they're putting in all the money, they're going to want some kind of control. Well, the reason we're in the mess we're in today is because six institutions control the legacy media. So I said to myself, if we're going to raise capital for this and I go straight to institutions, am I not making the same mistake we made before? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to be like a news organization that's completely people-powered press that puts the power of the press in the hands of the people. Eric, shouldn't the people own the product?
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it makes logical sense. And so this is why we decided.
I believe Benjamin Franklin started that with the paper. I mean, the power of the people, the press.
He was the originator of it. And then from there, I think the institutions bought it out from him.
Right. Everything's been bought out. Yeah. We're losing, but we're gaining. We have people like you at the forefront.
Well, yeah. So that's what I was saying. So, you know, what we're doing is we're raising capital from individuals and we're distributing the product directly to the people. So from an investor standpoint, you know, the people that are all buying this are all people that believe in the mission in a free power press. Because like I said before, the reason we're in the mess we're in today is because of the media. So what we're doing is we're completely decentralizing the news business and we're democratizing it, but it's owned by the people. This is why it's important. And this is why we're going to the individuals and say, you invest in this, not BlackRock or Vanguard, because I can assure you, if I told you BlackRock or Vanguard was the investors in my company,
you'd have people running away.
Oh, they would all be running. They're like, oh, the same thing, just in a different package.
You should see the emails that I get from people that want to do sponsorships and stuff, and I refuse. And I would be much more rich if I accepted a lot of these offers.
Yeah, so you gotta pick and choose.
I have principles, and you have principles, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely, yeah. So you have to pick and choose, and if you decide to go the route and you want to dance with the devil, well, you know, things are bad are going to happen. So we just decided not to. This needs to be owned by the people. We're in the process of doing that. And, you know, this round's a small round followed up by a much bigger one. But here's the good news. This is a platform that already has 5,000 news reporters covering news. And we're not going to get smaller. We're going to get bigger. So
you're only going to get bigger.
Everybody talks about, I wish I could have got in Facebook. Or I wish I could have got on Amazon. Or I wish I could have.
Here's your chance, folks. Buy in. Give them read out the website where they can go if they want to get involved and invest, and phone numbers, emails, read all that out for the listeners.
Sure. Well, yeah. So from an investment standpoint, you would just go to yournews.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page. There's a little button down there. It says invest. You could read all about it. If you like what you hear or what you read, you could just click invest and you could make an investment. You could spend as little as $200 and everywhere in between. That's really all they need.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So, Sam, we're going to have you on our other show, The Hostile Zone, with my lovely co-host, Ms. Bianca C., who is in the entertainment industry. And we discuss similar issues, but she brings the societal perspective to the topics we discuss. And she's going to obviously be working with Your News as well, doing social music and entertainment news. So we'll be talking more about that when you come on The Hostile Zone.
Awesome.
Thanks, Eric. I thank you very much for coming with us today. Don't go anywhere. Go back into the green room and we'll talk after the show.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks again. Well, folks, what a great experience that was. Sam Anthony, truly a pioneer, and we are truly thrilled here at The Hostile Zone and Eric A. Sinati Unplugged to team up with him. Miss Bianca C. will be on Hostile Zone. We will be interviewing him again, and she's thrilled as well to be a part. Media consolidation has left us with fewer voices and controlled narrative, but platforms like yournews.com, YOURNEWS.com, are providing that future for journalism that belongs to the people. The press doesn't die with legacy corporations. It lives again with ordinary citizens like yourself. Take ownership of it, folks. Take ownership. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth doesn't come gift wrapped. It has to be hunted, fought for, and spoken without fear. That's what we do here on Eric A. Sinati Unplugged. And we expose the narratives, we challenge the institutions, and we give power back to the people where it belongs. So as we close tonight, remember this. Unplugged is not about comfort. It's about clarity. It's not about echo chambers. It's about unfiltered truth. I'm Eric A. Sinati, and thank you for watching. Thank you for thinking critically, and thank you for standing with us as we build something bigger and legacy media will never hold out. Thank you again. We'll see you next time.